ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to The Fringe of It,
episode number 19.
A weekly podcast hosted by Olivia Purvis of What Olivia Did
and Charlotte Jacklin from Betty. Good afternoon on this very hot Friday. How are you, Liz?
I'm wonderful. It's so hot though. I feel like I've melted and I've turned to mush.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times we've tried to record the podcast intro.
Oh, it's literally, I think that was our fifth time, but we managed it. We're on the over the phone again as well, so hopefully the sound will be all right. But this is a little disclaimer. We will be back together IRL next week. But
it's too hot to sit in the same room as anybody.
I know. The last 2 weeks have been a bit hectic for both of us. So we're getting there. We're getting there.
What have you been up to this week, Liv?
This week, do you know what? I was telling my friend yesterday about what I've been up to, and I just could not think. It's been one of those weeks where I feel like all the days have like merged into one. So I started off by going to Norwich on Monday, which was absolutely delightful.
What were you doing in Norwich?
I went to see Brittany.
I feel like we always name drop Brittany on here.
And I'm so sorry, but she's wonderful. But it was basically, I was doing a little bit of a YouTube-y thing.
Oh, were you? Back on the old tube?
Well, going to start in a few weeks, and I thought I'd do a bit of pre-recording. So I booked her out for the day, went to see her gorgeous home. And then, oh my God, on Tuesday, I watched the football, which I'm not going to talk about now because I'm saving it.
Yeah, I'm saving that. We're not talking about the football.
Not yet. Not yet anyway. And then what else did I do? I did a tax return, which was as exciting as it sounds. And then, oh, this is exciting. So on Wednesday, I heard that Florence and the Machine were doing a little gig in Camberwell, so not far from where I live. And it had just been announced, and they were like, come down if you can, it's £5, it goes to charity. And I was like,
was it only a fiver?
It was a fiver. And because I was meeting my friend Sarah for dinner, who is also amazing, you should follow her, Sarah Louise Brand, not name dropping, but she's just great. And we were going out for dinner, I texted her and I was like, plan change, we have to do this. And she was about to go into a meeting, so I said, I'm going to go there, get queuing. And we queued, for about an hour and a half. And when I arrived, there wasn't many people. I thought the venue capacity was 200. Turns out it was 100, which is nothing. And we were three people being let in. The capacity was reached and they were like, we can't do anything else. And I was heartbroken.
I think that they should have done a quiz on like who was the most hardcore Florence fan and let people in on that basis, because then you would have got in.
100%. I think because it was announced at such short notice, I think people were holding spots for their friends. So people were kind of coming in from work and then getting in the queue, which is fair enough because that's kind of what we did as well with Sarah. But I was just like, oh, so close.
Oh, the queuing etiquette in that situation, though. I would have been tense.
There were some queue jumpers as well who weren't even there. But I mean, I didn't want to get angry. The lady who was organising, he was very kind, got me a poster. So I was happy as a clam. So that was my Wednesday. And then last night, I just got to tell you what I did last night, because oh my God, I went to see Steps.
Oh, yes, I was going to ask. So hang on, Steps are back, aren't they?
They are back in a big way. I have never been. I was quite excited. I got the tickets for my birthday because my parents clearly know me exceptionally well. But I was just, I didn't really know what to make of it. And I was so excited.
How many Steps songs did you know? Like all of them? I think
all of them. I think they played about three new songs, and because
new
it was
songs.
New, yeah.
Wow.
No one goes to a gig for a new song. But because it was seated, I mean, it's one of those things that had seats, no one sat on them until the new songs were played. And then everyone kind of started sitting down. I was thinking, Claire, Faye, change the song. You're losing us. But
no.
It was amazing.
And it's one for sorrow. And it's two. I forgot the lyrics. Is it too bad about us?
No, just... I don't know. Too bad. I've always gone too bad. Whoa, whoa.
Doo-doo.
They did an ABBA cover. They did Voulez-Vous. Me and Gemma were in our happy places. We were screaming. It was just amazing. So I did that. And that brings me up to today. But what have you been up to? I feel like I've really waffled there.
No, I've really enjoyed it. It's good that you've been doing something rather than when other times when I ask you and you go...
Yeah, it's been quite a busy week. So
yeah, I've written down what I've been doing because I will forget. And so I went to Margate at the weekend because I spoke to you on Thursday, and then we went down to Margate on. Oh, so I drove down to Margate on my own with June to surprise Jack for when he finished work on Friday. So he finished work on Friday, and I just said go to St Pancras, and then when he got to St Pancras, like I told him that we were going to Margate. Via his mum's house. But driving to Kent with a one-year-old in the back of the car was potentially one of the most stressful things I've ever done. June slept for a bit, and then the rest of the time she screamed. So I felt like the worst mother ever. Like, I kept stopping, but she was like, you need to get me out of this car.
Oh.
I know, I just felt awful. But anyway, it was really worth it. The weather in Margate was amazing over the weekend. We had a marquee, and we had, like, a pop-up table. Jack's mum brought, like, all the picnic gear, and it was brilliant. All our friends came down, but then after like such a high of such a lovely weekend, because we had a picnic on a Sunday at a place called Quecks, which is in Birchington near Margate,
and Birchington on Sea.
Yes, yeah, that's the very one. I was just a bit down because I was like, why have we moved so far away from Margate? I can't remember why. And you know, I've been speaking to you, and then I listened to a really good podcast actually by Sarah Tasker, and it was with an artist, and I forgot her name. I will, if you go onto my Instagram, it's tagged on there. But she was talking about how when we feel sad, we often like shy away from social media and those communities that we rely so heavily on. And she said that when she feels sad, she makes a picture and she kind of puts all her energy into that picture, and she kind of leaves those negative thoughts in the picture. So I was quite honest, and I said to people I'd just been feeling a bit rubbish. And I'm so pleased I did, because the amount of messages I got from like real life friends as well saying, dude, I'm here.
Oh.
And sometimes I think we forget, don't we?
You really do. I think it's easy to kind of like almost shut yourself away from it and just be like, no, I don't want to talk to anyone. But actually speaking to your friends and being like, oh, or even just like kind of, it's almost putting out an olive branch to the internet and being like, I need someone to take it.
Yeah, totally. That her name is Carolyn Mara, and she did a series of when her husband was in a deep depression and they were struggling with fertility. I mean, that's not what was wrong with me. I was just a bit sad. But it was really interesting. So yeah, Margate was a real high, and the rest of the week was a real low. And then yesterday the fog just lifted.
That's so, it's so nice in that feeling, because we all feel like it. And I think sometimes it's so all encompassing that you almost go to bed and you think, everyone's always like, oh, sleep on it. And then sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. Then when it does, and you wake up and you're like, oh, it's almost like a weight. It's such a good feeling. But
yeah,
I feel like sometimes when you have these enormous highs and brilliant weekends, it almost kind of makes you think, oh, I can't, that's it. Like, I don't know, it makes you, it can almost, it's like you have a come down from it.
Yeah, totally. It was interesting because I just wasn't expecting it. But then I read an article as well about how you can be a bit sad and a bit down after you move. And it was a psychological experiment, and they split like kind of movers and stayers, as they call them, into two camps. And just basically like how after you move, because you're so busy, like in the process of moving, you don't actually process your emotions. So when you stop after you've moved, you're a bit like, hang on, what have I done? Like, your support network's not there. Like,
yeah.
Your home's not very familiar. And then sometimes you might have a tendency to nest and actually stay in the house, which sounds like a great idea, but actually it's not that good for you, or spend time, you know, on screens and things like that. So it was really interesting it's been really lovely this week just to read things like that and have like really lovely messages from people just saying, I feel like that too.
Carrie did a brilliant post actually about this, kind of similar, kind of not similar, but she was talking about her weekend last weekend and talking about how the internet almost gives you these expectations of what you should be doing on a really hot day, like going out for a beautiful picnic or going to the beach. And she said she had this weekend where she had all these expectations and none of them were met, and she felt really like cross at herself for wasting it. And that's another thing, I think there is that pressure when you're online, you're thinking, oh, it's a nice day and I'm just indoors or working, but actually we all have to do that. And I don't know, it does make you feel like you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. Like, you're always looking at what other people are doing. There's that pressure too, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's just nice to come out on the internet sometimes and just be really honest and be like, life's just a bit meh at the moment, which was the description that I used. And people were like, yes, I get this too. This too shall pass, which is one of my favourite phrases. And it did. So I'm quite pleased to just feel normal. It's a nice feeling.
Oh, I'm so glad you're feeling better. I feel like these things, they always come, and I feel like sometimes we feel guilty about them because there's always someone in a worse position.
Totally.
It's always relative and it's always valid, so I think it's so good to air that sometimes and let it go.
So we got quite deep in there. What have you been up to this week? But sorry about that, but that's what I've been up to, wallowing.
Yeah, wallowing. But we all need a good wallow every now and again. Should we move on to telly chat?
I've been dying to talk to you about the telly.
Oh my god.
Or more specifically, the football. I didn't know I had it in me.
I knew I'd had it in me because I've experienced maybe it once or twice before, but this week I felt the gut-wrenching anxiety of someone that really enjoys football.
Oh my goodness. I've got goose pimples just talking about it, genuinely.
Wow, you win.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've seen many a Euro, many a World Cup, not that bothered. Something about, I mean, I can't even remember who we were playing. Oh, that's right, Colombia. What day was it? Wednesday?
Tuesday.
See, this is not a football fan that you're talking to. But oh my goodness, I got dragged into that game. I was invested.
Oh, I felt like before they went on, I literally had like a knot in my stomach because if I were about to go on like and do some public speaking, I felt like I was playing the game. And I was like, oh, this is what happens when you like football. So I felt so stressed. And I had my nan and granddad over, my cousins. And my nan and granddad don't really understand football. So that kind of diffused it a bit for me because I had to keep telling them who the Reds were and what end we were scoring down.
Brilliant.
It got to a point at the end where I was like, my nan was like, oh, don't miss. And I was like, nan, that's our team. And I just got really quite cross. And I was like, not the time. She was like, the other team, they're quite good, aren't they? And I was like, God, you've got no etiquette. You've got no football etiquette. But I just got so sucked in. It was the penalties that I was like, I couldn't watch.
Or the pens, as I now call them, as a hardened football fan. Oh. Pen time. But yeah, Jack wasn't even here. My dad keeps coming round to watch the World Cup. Like,
that's quite sweet.
It's sweet, but Jack's not here, so just sod off and watch the football elsewhere. But it is quite cute. Anyway, so he was watching the football, and I was just kind of like merrily minding my own business. And then before you know it, I put my phone down, and yeah, I was really into it. And then it went to extra time, and he has to go pick Jack up from the station. And I was like, I cannot cope with this. The anxiety is too much. Well, switched it off, and then I put it straight back on again. I was like, I need to know what happens. And then when it got to penalties, by this point, June was up and out of bed. My mum and dad, I think, had gone home because my dad just couldn't cope with the stress of penalties. He was like, I'm done. I'm out of here. And the raw passion, the only thing I can describe it to is giving birth. The noises that came out of me were just so involuntary. I was like, yes! And I was like,
I did that. I got really like, whoa! And I was like, wow. I was quite impressed. From going to the pub the other week where I didn't know how to act, it came out.
Yeah, remember that chat? I know, I mean, we like leapt off the settee, and every time we did, June cried, like burst into tears, because she was like, why are you doing this? I just sound like I've been a really bad mum this week. I've not. But I just think she couldn't cope with the, she's used to us being noisy, but I think it was just the pure,
the roar.
Yeah, the energy of the room. Yeah, it was very animalistic.
Yeah, I've got clammy hands. I remember when Joe got in afterwards, everyone had left, and he came home, and I was like, we have to go out again. This was like 10:30 at night. I was like, Joe, we have to leave. I was like, I want to go out to the streets and hear the horns. I want to hear the parties. And Joe was just a bit like, can I just sit down? And I was like, let's walk the dog. And he was like, what? What?
How were the streets?
Well, Joe had been at O'Neill's, which was like the kind of bar you see on Twitter when you see all the fans going a bit haywire, and it sounded amazing. So when we walked to the high street, Joe saw a couple of guys that he'd seen at the pub, and they were going, "Yes, come!" Like they were having like football banter. And then there was a guy on top of a bus that was like banging on the window because we were both in England shirts, and I was like, "Oh, isn't this sweet?"
Did it live up to your expectations? The streets.
I mean, the streets. Not totally. I mean, I think a lot of people had kind of packed it in by that point, but I quite enjoyed it. I just wanted to feel the energy of outside. But unfortunately, Joe and I are going to be away in a different country on Saturday during this match. But I love being in a pub, and I love people singing in like community.
I have, as a result of the football, had footballs coming home in my head. But I think the memes surfing the internet are particular, they're not helping. My favourite one so far is the one from Friends where Ross has Marcel, and he's like, "Please, Marcel," I'm not going to do an accent, "don't put that on again." And then I was expecting a woo on the way. I don't know why I keep singing. I'm sorry. Apologies.
That's one of my favourites. I also love, there's an Anchorman one where he's playing, I can't remember, is it the flute? And he kind of just goes, "It's so, I mean, that's
what did you just do? Was that It's Coming Home, the melody?"
Yeah, it was. That's it.
Wow, thank goodness we've never been on Nevermind the Buzzcocks. I would be so bad at that section.
Oh my God.
The other after effect of having, watching the football is now Jack thinks it's a floodgate. And now he thinks, you know, I'm so into football, and now he's just treating me like one of the lads and like giving me all this info. Like, he was already giving me too much football information before, but now he was stood at the wall chart the other day and was like, "Go on, what do you think then?"
Did you see the picture I sent you of the hippo marching towards its wall chart?
Oh, yeah, I've already tweeted that.
Oh, man. Do you know what? Yeah, Joe said to me today, he came down and was like, "So, they're Brazil, Belgium, what's happening?" And I was like, and I said, "Well, you've got to give me some background here, Joe." And he was like, "Well, oh no, is it Brazil, Belgium?
France, see, we're not football, just because we've watched two matches." I basically said, what's going to happen is France are going to win and Brazil are going to win, and then England are going to win. I don't even know who the other team is.
Oh, there's one, we're missing someone. But basically I said, I feel like Brazil will beat Belgium, providing that's who's playing it. I can see the war chart from here, but I can't move, otherwise I'm going to crap this
out. Isn't quite Loro's predictions, is it?
No, I'm not. It's like the pig on this morning that keeps sniffing the apples and telling people that England are going to win.
Pardon?
I think his name might be Marcel, I can't remember, but it's a pig, and they put down two sets of apples with different flags in, and he keeps going to England. He's like the octopus from many years ago.
What I love about this kind of thing is just how it brings people together, and people are just do the weirdest things, but it's all in the name of football, so it's fine.
And it's totally valid. I'm just going to quickly check who is playing, because I feel like I've just waffled so much there, and if I don't come to any kind of conclusion, it's quite bad.
Well, basically, maybe what this is...
Oh, Uruguay. It's Uruguay.
Who's playing who?
Uruguay and France.
Right, okay. So I think France are going to win. What else have we got?
Oh, yeah. So France have got a second goal against Uruguay.
I called it.
You called it. I think there's been a gaffe from the goalkeeper, which has allowed France to score again. I mean, maybe we should wrap up this football chat, because I feel like this is turning into one of Joe's podcasts.
Oh, my goodness. Five Live have got a podcast about the World Cup every single day.
Joe listens to like three every single day. All different World Cup analogies, and I'm like, huh?
They must have run out of football to talk about.
I don't think so.
Well, look at us. We've just waffled on for 20 minutes about nothing.
And we don't even know the footballs.
We definitely do not know the footballs. But that's all I've been watching. I am in a bit of a tricky predicament, as I mentioned last week. So me and Mum were watching Schitt's Creek, spoke to her. Turns out she does want to wait to watch it together.
Fair.
Glow season 2, I'm supposed to be watching that with Jack, he's not been here, so I'm like, I've got all these programs to watch, but I don't have permission to watch them.
That's frustrating. I however have been watching Love Island.
Right, okay, the timer. Let me get it out. Are you ready for your minute? Don't spend the first 15 seconds
looking at my notes.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay, here it is. Liv's Love Island Minute.
So this week has just been so eventful with Casa Amor. All these new girls coming in. I was really impressed actually towards the end of the week where Adam was like, I'm not really sure about, is it Daryl? Daryl's the new girl who he quite liked. And he was a bit like, oh no, I think I like Zara. So I'm wondering how that's going to pan out. Also, Megan just confuses me every single day. She's just, frustrating. And also Josh, never been so cross. Last week, I think I was saying how Josh and George are underrated. How things can change. Georgia, I mean, I hope she doesn't like ruin Laura's thing going on with Jack, because no. But also Jack and Danny, still my favourites. Hopefully Danny Dye is going to come in the next couple of days, because I cannot wait to see that. Are you going to start tuning in at that point, Charlotte? Yeah, she's nodding. So that's really exciting. Love Danny, love Jack, love the fact they overcame Casa Amor, and I'm very happy to see what's going to happen.
Your time is up.
Thank you.
Getting better and better. Okay, fine. I watched the first episode. I don't even know what my moral high ground was about now, because I keep up to date via Twitter. I mean, I don't know some of these people you're talking about. All I'm interested in is Jack and Danny. And then wasn't Danny Dyer's mum on this morning?
I think so.
Yeah, saying that Danny is bang up for going in the villa. If Danny Dyer's in there, I am sorry. All morals are out the window. I'm watching.
Do you follow Danny Dyer on Instagram?
What are those posts?
I'm quite enjoying it. I feel like it's ultimate dad posting.
What is the app?
Exactly the kind of thing my dad would do.
What do you know what the app is that he's using? Let me explain it. So it's scenes from films, isn't it? And then it's
scenes from films or famous like celebrities or people of interest who, you know, or news clips, and then you dub your voice over it.
Yeah, I can't remember the app, but Danny Dyer is so into it.
He's into it, but I feel like that's the kind of thing my dad would do and get very into also.
I feel like that's what I might get into this afternoon.
Oh my God, I would be well up for doing that.
Okay, fine. Maybe we could do some for the next podcast.
I'm very happy to oblige that.
I don't know how it would work, but anyway. But yeah, as soon as Danny Dyer goes in that villa, I'm sorry, I'm tuning in.
I like that. I like the fact that in the villa, basically, Jack's ex-girlfriend came in.
Yeah, what happened?
So she and Danny went on a date, like a brunch date, a girls' date. And then she told Danny that Jack had a poster of one of Danny Dyer's films above his bed. And then Jack, I think that was the thing Jack got most angry about. He was so embarrassed. He was like, oh, you're trying to mug me off. And it was just hilarious. But Danny thought it was really sweet and just a bit cringe.
Didn't they say, I love you?
Yeah. Like, I really love you, I do. Aww. That's so sweet.
That's very cute. Right, no, hang on. We've spent far too long talking about Love Island. I'm gonna put Love a sock Island in
football.
It.
Let's move on to shopping before we just carry on about football.
Okay, shopping it is. What have you been buying? Actually, I don't care what you've been buying. I want to tell you what I've bought.
Go on then. I shan't wait a moment longer.
So I was on Instagram, surprise, and I was on Mother of Daughters profile, Clemmy, and she did an amazing shoot for Vogue, and she had this dress on, and I was like, oh, that's nice. That's really nice. I want it. And I kind of remember seeing it in Topshop ages ago. So I rushed onto the Topshop website and it was half price in the sale. And the only sizes left were not my sizes, but it was half price in the sale. So then I got a bee in my bonnet even more, because I've got a wedding on the 18th of August. And I was like, that's a bit of me. And it's yellow. I don't know how to describe it. It's yellow, kind of got like pink flowers on it. There's a lot of fabric. It's really floaty, got long sleeves. It's got a ruffle. It's just very romantic and very kind of this time. I'm only laughing because I need to tell you something else. It's very kind of like late summer. So I couldn't find it, and I checked. So I was like, maybe someone's got it in their basket, and you know, in an hour or two, there might be another one available. No, there wasn't. But then, the power of the internet being lovely, this really nice girl called Natasha, who works at Lincoln Topshop, was like, we've got a 14 and 16 in stock. Panic not.
Oh, in Lincoln as well?
I know. And so I said, what time do you open tomorrow? She said 9. I said, I'll be there. I was there at 9:15. By which point, she had already, Natasha wasn't even working that day. She was at training day in Nottingham. She called into the store, got them to put it to one side for me, and then someone lovingly brought them over for me.
Amazing.
Tried it on, but it was one of those, you know, where the slip is attached to the outer shell.
Oh, that makes it so sad, the outer shell. Yeah. That makes it a mission to get on.
So I, like, got it on after about 10 minutes, and then the slip was just down the front, just hanging. So then I had to start again, by which point Jack had WhatsApped me being like, are you all right? Because it had taken me so long to get it on. Anyway, turns out the size 14 was spot on, went to the till proud as punch. And so a big shout out to Natasha.
Oh, thanks, Natasha. Otherwise, Charlotte would be a miserable so-and-so this week.
What, more miserable than she's already been?
Well, on the shopping bit, we'd have no laughs.
Well, that was actually... I'd been like sad and I had a few tears and stuff. And then Jack got had his day off work on Wednesday, which has been his only days off each week. So we went to Topshop, then we went out for brunch, went to the local bakery and just had two really nice hours while June was at nursery. So it was literally shopping therapy.
How's she getting on at nursery?
Yeah, not great. She's not really liking it. But we're doing little 2-hour sessions now rather than a whole morning because it's just a bit too much.
Oh, bless her.
But we crept, when we went to pick her up, we crept on her from around the corner and we could see she was having a nice time, so.
She was having you on.
Yeah, she was having us on. But yeah, that's what I've been buying, nothing else, but I am so happy about said dress.
Oh, it is a gorgeous dress.
And, well, it's also this time of year, so I always think I'd step into summer, like quite conservatively, you know, It's been spring and you might have like a dress on with some sandals. And I feel like by the end, you're a bit like Captain Jack Sparrow, like you've gone for a bit of a hair braid. You might have gone for like, I don't know, maybe some kind of transfer tattoos, a bit of henna, like during a festival.
And they've then gone for one earring.
Yeah, like hoops. And then you've got a scarf on. So I just feel like come the end of August, like that's my analogy every year.
I love that as you say this, you're sitting there in this bun ponytail with a bandana on, like, and a frilly black dress and a gold necklace. It's all gone.
Yeah, actually. Do you know what I mean? Like, I kind of feel like the more you go through summer, you just keep like piling accessories on, a bit like Buckaroo. Like, the clothes get less, but the accessories get more. And then by the end of the summer, you just like look like a flower child of Woodstock, and you're like, hey, man. And then by September, everyone's like, no, come on, enough's enough. Like, you need to put some shoes on.
Bring out the tights again, please.
It's like, that's where I'm at in the proceedings
of summer.
You're
going to be on, like, going into Love Island.
Yeah. I'm going to be like that episode of Friends where Ross goes on spring break. Let's move on. What have you been buying this week?
Oh, well, I've made a few purchases, most of which were in the last 12 hours.
Tell me, pray.
Well, the first one was I'm going to a wedding at the beginning of August. I was going to wear a suit and I was like, it's going to be really hot. I don't really want to wear a suit.
It's a nice idea, but absolutely not.
And the trousers were a little bit tight when I wore them in April and I was just like, they're not going to be any looser now. So I went on the Ghost website. As you do, and they had this new in dress. And
I feel like I know which one it is. Can I guess?
Yeah.
Right, can I ask, how many questions can I ask? About three.
Three.
Is it pink?
It comes in pink.
Is it blue?
It's blue.
Has it got stars on it?
It's got stars on it.
Is it a maxi?
It's a maxi.
Seen the dress, taken a picture of it, and nearly sent you it, and was like, you need this dress, and I need it in pink.
Got it in blue. You got to get it in pink.
Yeah, I know exactly the dress. I saw that dress on the mannequin on King's Road and was like, that's a bit of Liv Purvis.
Oh, they posted a picture and the sleeves were like billowing, yeah, and really sheer. And I was like, that is what I want to wear to this wedding. And I bought it.
I just know you so well.
You do know me exceptionally well. So I bought that. And then last night when I got home, I was on Instagram and I was on the Explore page, which is not a page I frequently visit.
I'm always on the Explore page. When you're up with a small child sometimes trying to get them to sleep, I like run out of internet.
Oh, because I think it got to a point where I thought I just kept seeing the wrong things on there. Like Not the wrong things, but just things I didn't want to see. Like lots of girls in like bikinis and just nice things, but things that weren't necessarily my taste. So I just stopped visiting it. And I went on there last night and there was this white dress, which I sent you. And it had like a really rounded low neckline and big billowy white sleeves. Very, almost slightly period.
Yeah, it's a bit milkmaid.
It's a little bit milkmaid. In a nice way. Almost, I'd say, milkmaid meets Regina Pio. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. That's quite a niche reference. But
it's such a niche reference. If you know, you know. And I saw that and I pre-ordered it. And it was by a designer called Cara Toms.
I can't believe I didn't know anything about. I was like, follow.
Yeah, it's not many followers, but it's very similar to Doen, if you're familiar with Doen. It's kind of very, like, lots of linens and very clean, like, fabric.
Clean but romantic. So a bit kind of 70s blouses. Yeah,
like very, like, yeah, blousy kind of things, which I was all for. So I all pre-ordered that. And the only other thing I've been talking about this week endlessly is shorts. A denim shorts.
She literally has not stopped talking about shorts.
I haven't. I'm not.
I was hoping we could avoid it.
I'm gonna keep it quite short. But I did a blog post. Oh god.
Did you even know?
I didn't. I'm just a poet and I didn't even know it. I'm sorry. But I did a blog post, which I'm not gonna plug too much on here, just once. And that was all about the fact that I tried on jeans earlier this week and three pairs didn't fit. Three pairs. So I was feeling a little bit out of sorts and I was a bit like, oh, didn't really know what to do. And I tried a couple of pairs of shorts that I'd kept from a couple of years ago. Bad idea. Couldn't really get them over my thighs. So we had to go back to the drawing board. I just really wanted to find a good pair of high-waisted denim shorts.
But I think I want to talk about the blog post just a tiny bit more, that I can plug it. But I think you wrote the nicest thing, which was like, yeah, my shorts don't fit, but who really cares? Because you've really, really, really enjoyed yourself.
Exactly. And that's what I thought when I tried them on. It was the same thing when I found a grey hair earlier this year. And I kind of thought, well, I'm lucky to, you know, be getting older.
Yeah, and have hair.
Exactly, and I had that perspective with shorts, and I was kind of like, well, they don't fit, because every nice meal I've gone out to, I've not denied myself eating something I enjoy, and I think life's so short that why should I if I don't have to, and I've just had a nice time, and I've not worried about my weight. I did, yeah, I wanted to write about it, and I was a bit worried about posting it, because I thought, you know, I didn't want to seem like I was getting out the tiny violin, but equally I wanted to say that we all feel like at this time of year, like, we all feel self-conscious, I think, or we all have to push ourselves sometimes out of these, like, sartorial comfort zones where
totally. You
have to get in swimwear, or you might feel like you have to, you don't have to by any means. And same with shorts, and same with, like, and I mean, I had some of the loveliest messages back, and a few girls were like saying that they felt the same. They'd been to gigs in this kind of weather wearing tights because they didn't feel confident enough to get their legs out, and they got a heat stroke, or they made themselves suffer because they didn't think they could. And it was that reminder that to say that no matter what your body shape is, you're allowed to, you know, show it off. You're allowed to be cool and be comfortable. And equally, if you don't feel comfortable, that's fine too. Like, don't feel pressure to feel like you have to be in a bikini in summer either. And yeah, no, I just wrote this post quite off the cuff. I didn't really think about it. And yeah, no, I had so many nice responses, which made me feel like I can definitely kind of delve into that pool a bit more. But
it's hard, isn't it? Because it was what we said, you know, if you are concerned about negative opinions, you would never write anything. And I think what we're learning, even through doing this podcast, quite deep this week. Can you tell my periods, Jo? But you can't be vanilla. You're not going to please all of the people all the time anyway. People, exactly. For starters, aren't going to like us just because they might think we're annoying. And then you can't just have opinions that are just, yeah, vanilla, because you don't want everyone to disagree with you, and that's fine.
That's the thing. You can water things down. And I was almost, when I wrote that post, I started watering a few things down. I was like, well, no, because it's going to dilute from the actual point. And almost you have to say things, and you have to kind of say, like, I don't know, there's so many, we're in an age where every topic is delicate. So you want to please everyone all of the time of every background, and you can't always do it. You have to kind of just sometimes follow your own opinion and then kind of, you know, fine tune it. But anyway, it was a really nice post to write. I had loads of great short recommendations as well, which came with it.
Yeah, because we were talking about summer dressing last week. So where have you been?
Well, I've got a pair on now, which I won't move the laptop to show you, because if I do, I'll probably end up making a lot of rustling and no one else can see it. But I've got these shorts from Levi's, which are high-waisted, and they're called the baggy shorts. And they're really cool, actually. They're really nice. I was a bit worried they look a bit like a nappy.
I know what you mean.
A bit too much tapering. And tapering works on trousers, but with shorts, it's a bit like... but they're really great, really comfortable. Also ordered a couple of pairs from And Other Stories, and Monkey are meant to be amazing. Heard some things about Zara too, so I'm going to try and have a bit of research time this week. And I might try and put a blog post or a video together with the best jeans, or shorts, sorry.
What are we talking about?
The best shorts for women who struggle with finding shorts in summer, basically.
The kind of shorts I'm in the market for, because I was like, shorts aren't for me, but I've got my arms out now, next thing on my legs, I've got a few blouses. And I'm like, do you know what? I just want to stick a pair of shorts on. Jack's sister, she loves it when I mention her. Hi, Amy. She came to Margate on Saturday. She looks amazing. She had a really oversized... white, I think it was a men's shirt, maybe it wasn't, but you know, it was that kind of vibe. It was really oversized. And then she'd done a little French tuck, shout out to Queer Eye. But these shorts had an elasticated waist, or maybe they didn't, sorry Amy, but you either want an elasticated waist or a drawstring waist. And then what I want at the bottom, at the leg bit, is like quite a loose, you know, just like not really tight, so I don't want denim. And then I kind of want them to just like have a little split at the side, do you know what I mean? Almost like a retro footballer's short, but in a, like a nice pattern.
Because
what I don't want to do is when I sit down, I don't want my shorts to dig in me, because that's when it gets uncomfortable, because I've got, you know, I've got some thighs.
That's the thing, and I feel like that's what I was worried about, because I was like, oh, you know, when it's hot and you want to sit in the garden, you don't want to be in a maxi dress. You want to be able to get your legs out, get a bit of colour.
Well, and that's if I'm in the garden, I'm pretty much naked. Sorry, neighbours.
Well, we've got children next door, so I feel like the garden's quite small and they do overlook each other. So
I feel like if John and Barbara are in their top window, they might have a bit of a shock, but otherwise I'm all right.
Yeah, see, I have to be a bit PG, but with shorts, I'm like, I can't sit out here in a dress. It's too hot, it's 30 degrees. So we move on to today's topic, because I feel we've gone on today.
We've gone rogue today. I'm telling you, it's because I've got so many hormones and so many feelings, I've got so much to say.
So many feels today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Right, let's move on to this week's topic, which is holidays.
So, Charlotte, would you like to expand on this week's topic?
So what I kind of touched upon last week and generally been feeling is like I feel like the whole of Instagram's on holiday, which is totally fine. But I just kind of wanted to throw out there, like, do people feel like there's too much pressure to go away? And then I wanted to talk about our best trips and our cheapest trips. And then I also wanted to talk about the flip side of, is there too much pressure to go away? Do we give ourselves permission enough to go away? So a lot to talk about, really. Just wanted to talk about holidays.
Oh, it's meaty.
So I would say that I haven't been on holiday properly in quite a long time. But every year I go on holiday with Jack's family and we stay in the UK because they've got three sausage dogs and... I don't think those dogs would do well in Europe. So we go on holiday every year and that's really lovely. But as a family, or just me and Jack haven't been away since we went to Berlin, which I think I've mentioned several times on the podcast, which was before June was born.
It's like me with my halloumi kebab. It's like, oh, she's mentioned Berlin again.
But that was kind of our last holiday as a couple. And that was maybe 4 days away. We've done a couple of little breaks here and there.
When was that? When was Berlin?
But that was before June. So that was like 3 years ago. But that was 4 days in November. But in terms of like a week's holiday, we haven't been on a week's holiday ever in the 9 years that we've been together. Like we have done it with Jack's family. And it's because we're both freelance and he's been like trying to break into the TV industry. So there's been periods of his career where he's not been paid and periods of my career where we just haven't been able to afford it. And I just think in the life of Instagram, it can look like people are constantly traveling.
I know, and I think it's so important, especially because, I mean, I feel like it as well. I mean, I'm lucky that I go on quite a few press trips and I get to travel quite a bit. But even from that perspective, when I'm not traveling, I see lots of people away. And I sometimes think like, oh, they're away a lot. And often you have to remember a lot of it is press trips. And it's like they get, you know, gifted holidays. But I think because people do it and they write about it, it's slightly different. But I felt like that a lot. Like Joe and I are very much similar to you and Jack in the sense we've never been away on a beach or pool holiday for any period of time. We've always done like a couple of day city breaks here and there. I think this year we were really like, we need to go and have a proper holiday, like a real relax. But it's weird because I feel like this Instagram generation has made people think that one holiday isn't enough a year. And it's really changed from when we were growing up and we'd have one holiday a year, if that, or maybe one holiday every couple of years. And that might be to the UK, it might be to Spain somewhere. And that was amazing. And I look forward to that. And I love that. And I feel so lucky I got to do that, because I know that some people don't even holiday in general. But I feel like now there's almost the pressure that every other weekend, it's like, right, make the most of it. Go away, book a long weekend somewhere. And it can be quite a lot.
Yeah, definitely. I think when we were growing up, I hope my mum and dad won't mind me saying, but we went bankrupt. And I think back in the day, it was quite severe. I'm not saying it's not severe now, but it was a longer, I think it was 5 years. So we didn't go on holiday between the time I was 2.5, we went on holiday, and then 10, I think, was my next holiday. Maybe it was 9. So we didn't really have holidays growing up. We did when I was a bit older. So it was kind of something that I'd never really missed. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You're just like, well, we don't do that thing. And we weren't really in an area where everyone holidayed. So it wasn't like my friends were going away. We just all kind of hung around. Maybe people did go on holiday and I just was like, see you later, Rach. Where you been? When she got back, I've got a new friend now. But then on the flip side, I think it's really important. Like, when I saw you a couple of weeks ago and you were really frazzled and I was like, dude, you need a holiday. Go. And sometimes it's giving yourself permission to kind of spend that money, which can be really scary, especially, you know, if you've not had a lot of money or like money is a bit unstable. And I think we're going to do the same when a couple of paychecks come in. I'm going to dedicate a slice of that money to a holiday, because I think the benefits of a holiday are just tenfold.
It feels amazing to get back. I was saying actually my favorite holiday was that one of my favorites I've ever been on with Joe was last year in July, and we went to Cornwall for 5 days. And it was honestly like, I mean, I was still posting and I documented it on the blog, but it didn't feel like work. And I just had the most relaxing 5 days. The weather wasn't always great, but just being able to be in a different environment and not put any pressure on yourself. It was like a tonic.
Cornwall is good for that.
It's my favorite place. And we did a couple of days in St. Ives. And then we got the train to Penzance and spent the rest of the time there. And it was just like, I love getting on a train as well. I think, well, you know, we've spoken about this.
If the Orient Express would like us to record our podcast on the train, I don't think that would be a problem.
No, we were both obliged. But I love the whole, I think that's part of a holiday as well, like getting to the airport, enjoying. And I felt like that when we got to Paddington last year. We got there at like 7 a.m. We went to Pret, got like our porridge, and then we sat on this train. It was about 5 hours on the train, but it was just like, oh, so exciting. And I bought some magazines, and I just really enjoyed that whole period of being like, oh, I can read a magazine. I don't have to write anything. It's not research. It's just pleasure.
Yeah, I love that. And one of the things that I've committed to myself to do is save more for holidays, which I don't do. And I'm sure so many people are much savvier than me, but we have a thing in my family called mutual aid. And it was a thing that my grandpa did, like when he used to be the port missioner of the docks, so down the docks, and everyone used to put money away for Christmas. So I put £10 a week away for Christmas currently. My sister-in-law does it, and my mum does it, another sister-in-law. I have so many. And that feeling at Christmas when I know that I'm going to have all... every single week's £10. And at first I really did notice when it went out, whereas now I just, it goes straight out every Friday. And that feeling's amazing. So I'm going to start a dedicated holiday fund.
Oh, that's so nice.
Because I don't do it enough. And then like, that was what was exciting about what you were saying about booking.com last week, is that they don't take the money till later. Cause sometimes you just, the old cash flow situation.
It's so tricky, and you look at flights and things, and it's like things are so unpredictable, especially if you're in a freelance job where you can't necessarily plan ahead and you can't look at flights a year in advance. It can be quite tricky, but I think it is so important. I feel like this year has made me appreciate how important having breaks are, whether you go abroad or whether you go, you know, an hour away, or even my mom. I was talking to my mom about this because her and my dad aren't going away. But we've, you know, had a bit of a hard time with a few different things at the moment, and they've booked a 2-day break and she was going to cancel it. And I said, honestly, you'll need it. You'll come back and you'll have a fresh perspective on things. And I said, it will be so invaluable to take that time. And I'm such a believer that having a couple of days, if that's all you can do, or you just extend a long weekend, it just, sometimes it feels like you've had the cobwebs blown away.
I said yes during the middle of that because I so agree. And the amount of times I've not wanted to go somewhere. So I'm going on a retreat on Sunday for a couple of nights, and it just feels so indulgent. And I'm like, I'm not going to go. It's not going to go. But I know that 2 nights and 3 days away is, yes, it's really indulgent, but it was that kind of thing we were talking about last week where it's like you need to refill your cup so that you can kind of be a better person. And one thing that I've... thought about, because I love holidaying in the UK and I think it can just be, you know, be so relaxing, is house swapping with friends.
Oh, I've never thought about this.
Well, my friend was talking and she was like, oh, I'm thinking about renting our house out next year for a month. And I was like, I'll take it for a month, which is not house swapping, obviously. No, she doesn't have a pool, sadly. But what's nice is I know it would be child friendly because she has a child, so it would have like stair gates, and you know, generally she wouldn't mind if, I don't know, June threw a yogurt all over the floor. But then I was thinking, you know, what about a house swap? I mean, I know you can't always do that when you're in rented, but I reckon you could for a few days.
Yeah, but if you're in a different area, that's such a good idea.
Yeah, because a change is as good as a rest, as my grandma used to say.
What a brilliant idea. So then, like, oh, if you've got friends at the seaside or in a different city, what a great idea.
Because sometimes you look at accommodation, you're like, whoa there, whoa. Yes, I just want to rest my head for a few hours.
I know, it's too much. Also, while we're on this kind of, well, it's not on this topic at all, but I read a really nice piece on The Guardian this week, which I was going to send you, and it was like a day in Ramsgate, but it was like a diary. And it was like minute by, or like hour by hour. And it was like all the different people who worked there at the seaside in summer. And it just really encapsulated what the British seaside is like in the summertime. And I will link it in our bio this week. Because that really reminded me about how beautiful it can be as well. Sorry, should have mentioned this with the Cornwall chat. But it came like a light bulb. I had to mention it.
No, that's fine. I enjoyed your light bulb. But there's so many places. Obviously, I've lived in Kent for nearly a decade. And I thought that the Kent coast is amazing, but I can't wait to kind of Norfolk I've done, and Wells by the sea and places like that, but I want to get right up in the northern seaside. I've got heard Newcastle, I've got some amazing beaches, which
Ooh.
When I heard that I was like, pardon, but you
where's
know
Whitby?
Well, Whitby's on the way, yeah, because we really want to go to Whitby as well.
I and that's go just Whitby. Can I come?
Yeah, absolutely. The way I did that.
I know. I was like, okay. I'll go on my own.
Yeah, no, that's fine. You can entertain June, who now hates car journeys. But that's just one side of the country, and I'm sure there's people listening to the podcast screaming, kind of like seaside destinations. But you know, the Welsh coast as well. I have seen some insane scenery.
I remember when I went to Port Merion, actually, that was another lovely trip. It's festival number 6, and the train journey there from Bangor was just amazing. It was so picturesque. I was like, we could be anywhere right now.
Yeah, and we're in the UK.
We're in the UK and it feels absolutely glorious.
Scotland is long on my list to get up there. Mm-hmm. And we were going to go this summer, but I just don't think Jean's going to hack it. She's going to be really annoyed that she's in the car. Even if we stop, she's like, no.
She's like, not having it.
Or and then I was thinking we could stop somewhere else on the way, but I'm doing that thing that your mum did where I'm like, oh, do I not deserve a holiday, but it's just almost like too much fuss to take that much time for yourself.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people I do it, and then actually, I mean, Joe and I have booked something for a couple of weeks in a couple of weeks' time, and it got to a point where I was like, if we don't do it, we're not going to do it, and it's going to get too expensive and we're going to regret it. And then we just went, okay, we'll do it, and we did it. And flights weren't terrible. And we were like, fine, do it, done.
Sometimes, and then when you do that, that money's gone. And then you can't ponder about it anymore. Because you're like, you probably would have dwindled it away on nothing.
So it's like, so true.
Yeah, ring fencing some money sometimes can be a good thing to do. Where's on your kind of dream to visit list that you've not been?
I really want to do more of Italy. I've seen so many people are doing a lot of Italy. I'd love to go to Rome. And I really want to do like this. Yeah, the Amalfi Coast, all of that part of the world just looks incredible.
I'm nodding aggressively. You've watched The Trip, haven't you, with Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon? Yeah, the second series, me and Jack just watch it repeatedly. The food.
My favourite thing. So I really want to do that. Want to do more of the US. There's so many parts of the US I'd love to do. I mean, I would love to do like San Fran. I'd love to go back to LA. But I really want to do like some of the Deep South. And I just, there's so many pockets that I'm like, oh, I feel like I want to see more.
Yeah, the world is such a big place. I feel like so I've hardly seen any of it. Though. Yeah, I want to go to New Orleans. I want to go to Cuba. I want to go to Mexico.
Cuba, yeah.
So honest, I can't think of a single place if someone said, do you want to go there? And I'd be like, no.
I'd like to go to Blackpool as well.
Oh, yeah, I really want to go to Blackpool.
Yeah, I've never been to Blackpool. I think Joe said he might throw it around for his stag do.
Oh, nice. I might go on the stag do rather than the hen do.
On the stag. Well, where's Charlotte? Oh, she's on the stag.
Yeah, I'm in Blackpool because it looked like fun.
It looked like more of a giggle.
Yeah.
But I love going to like Brighton. I like doing some of the same places because I feel like that feels like more of a holiday sometimes because I'm like, I know where I'm going.
You know where you're parking. I know the good restaurants.
Yeah. And I can just go to a new hotel and then just be like, right. I know where to go. It feels like home away from home. That's sometimes more relaxing.
Yeah, definitely agree with that. Sometimes it's the anxiety and it's like a bit busy and you're like, am I going to have a good time? Or it's like, hang on, we know this place. We know what it's like. I totally get why people go back to the same spots year in, year out.
And it makes it easier. I think that's why I've put off going to so many new places because I think I don't know the area to stay in. I don't know where's good. And it kind of, you build up so much, you're like, okay, I'll just go back to where I know because it's easier.
Yeah, and if you want to relax, like straight away.
Yeah, which is really nice. And I don't like, for a while, my mum and dad love going to Ibiza. We've got family out there and they stay in the same areas. And for a long time, I was like, but there's so much to see everywhere. And they were like, but we know it's good. We know what we like. And I'm like, well, do you know what? Actually, that makes so much sense.
I would very much like to meet this auntie that lives in Ibiza. And,
you would love her. If she's listening, Auntie Susan, love you lots. We will come and see you. Me and Charlotte will come out.
I would very much like to record the podcast on the White Isles. And I need to take my bralette somewhere that I'm going to be buying.
And your bandana.
And my gold tattoos.
God, this girl. We need to plot some adventures.
Definitely. But it is about, and I think, you know, sometimes it's all about, on Instagram, you can get a bit like, oh, you know, some people are on holiday a lot. But, you know, planning for like 2018, 2019, and that, you know, sometimes those things are here before you know it.
It's so true. And things really fly around. I mean, even thinking about a honeymoon, I'm like, oh no, like it's so far away. Although it's something we're definitely going to have to save for and really consider. I'm like, it'll be here before we know it.
You'll have been on your honeymoon this time next year.
Oh my God. I might be back.
Yeah. July the 6th, haven't you going for?
Well, no. I mean, well, if the wedding's in May... My birthday's in, we might go between the wedding and my birthday because I thought, how good would that be?
I'm so judgy. I'm like, what's happening?
Get married, at the end of May, have a week or so away on your honeymoon, get back and it's my birthday.
Yeah, so you'll have been on your honeymoon this time this time next year.
It'll be like a fiesta.
And that's the other thing, doing a bit of manifesting. I would very much like to have been to Melbourne by this time next year and then visited my best friend.
Melbourne is heavenly.
Yeah, I need, it's time. It's time. I was going to go for my 18th birthday and then for one reason and another I've not been, and it's now been 14 years and I've not
been. That's a lot of time to put it off.
Yeah, enough's enough.
It's a big trip though. It's a big trip.
But that's the thing, these trips can be so big that you just put them off forever. You're like, oh, that's a lot of money. Right.
And actually, do I think that?
Yeah, if I just tighten my waist belt on my shorts.
Do you know what I love? I love airline sales. For a really long time, in January, Joe and I would go on the airline sales after we'd done like a tax return in January. We'd look, and flights to New York and the places like that, that bucket list places are so reasonable. And what we'd do is we'd book our trip then. And I feel like you can pay either in installments or it was a lower price and you could pay as you go. That was the Virgin actually, but airline sales, very underrated.
Yeah, I feel like if you have the money ready, so if I, what is it, July now, if I put a bit of money away every month, come January when those sales, I'm ready.
Yeah, definitely check out airline sales. It was something I was recently, a bit like booking.com, which is absolutely no secret.
Well, we've told everyone every week. What is your favourite thing about holidays? I think I know what mine is.
Do you know what I love? I really love being by a pool or being on, like, having a book by the pool and getting really hot and then getting into a pool to cool off and then lying down again. And on my 4 o'clock Mars ice cream.
You pretty much do the same thing in the UK as you do abroad.
Except sans pool and sunshine.
Yeah, no, they just have the Mars ice cream. Mine is, you know, there's that weird thing where you kind of like make the place you're staying at familiar. So you go to the same place every day for like a croissant.
The bakery for lunch.
Yeah, because we're weird creatures of habit and that I really enjoy.
Yeah, in Ibiza there's a place that when we used to stay in a certain place with my family, we'd go to the same bakery every lunch and I'd get this baguette, which was like chicken with onion. I mean,
of all the things you could eat in Ibiza, there she is with a baguette.
With a chicken and onion baguette, please. With my Lay's crisps, and we'd get it every day.
Lay's crisps.
Oh.
The other great thing, actually, I'm thinking back. So when we did holiday, we always used to go to the same place. So we went to Porta Pollenza in Mallorca because my... Yeah, well, my uncle that I spoke about, Uncle Tony and Uncle Michael, they had a place there so we could stay with them. And I just think that place is just absolutely amazing. But I really enjoyed all the different flavours. I say all the different flavours of Fanta. Why does it taste so different?
Yeah, you get like your limon, Fanta limon.
Yeah, not lemon Fanta. No.
Fanta limon.
Yeah. And maybe it's because I don't drink fizzy drinks the rest of the time. So when I'm on holiday, I'm like, this tastes amazing.
And then your bread with your aioli or alioli.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how to pronounce that. No clue.
I feel like whenever I was away, it was alioli, but here it's aioli. I don't know.
And like that garlic mayo that's going to make your breath stink for 24 hours.
Who cares?
Is it just garlic mayo?
Yes.
Yeah, what?
Yes, it is. But again, it tastes better in a different country.
There's so many things that taste so much better. Jack always knows when I'm on holiday abroad or in the UK because I've always got a meat and cheese selection.
Ooh.
I don't know why, that just says holiday to me.
Yeah.
I am, just I need some meats and I need some cheeses.
Can't take a girl away from her meats and cheeses.
Yeah, and a very, very pale blush rosé. Very pale. Oof. But we all know I can't drink too much of that.
I know, I'm a Sprite girl, through and through.
Right, well, this chat's just made me want to go away on holiday, so it actually had the reverse effect.
Yeah, I know, we were meant to be saying, don't succumb to the pressure of going...
Yeah, or just don't feel bad, but I'm probably going to go and, I don't know, sell something now.
You're looking around.
What can I sell? I need to go away. I don't care if Jack and June come. I don't mind.
We need to plot a getaway, that was on our list as well. A fringe of it, research trip.
Oh yeah, definitely. We need to go and research how they record podcasts in nicer places. Well, on that note, I've got a paddling pool downstairs and I've got a Magnum in the fridge.
I have one more thing to say and it's unrelated to everything. And I should have said it earlier.
I can't wait. What, go on.
It's basically, it's an app I discovered today.
Oh, I love a new app. I might have a new app for you, actually. Oh, my phone died, so I can't tell you.
I just have to tell you. So I was reading a blog post by a girl called Charlotte, and we're interning in London, which I will also link because it's really inspiring if you are interning. But she mentions this app called Olio. And I clicked on it and I was like, not knowing what to expect. But it's basically, it's a food waste app. So if you've got things in your fridge that are on the turn or about to go off, or say you bought a packet of 6 onions, you can only use 2, the rest are about to go. You can list things and people can come and collect things that you're not going to use.
That's genius.
And cafes can do it, and restaurants if they've got food. So even if you feel like you don't need anything, but you can collect it on behalf of someone to give someone that might. I was like, amazing.
What? How do you spell it?
Olio. And I feel like there's an X at the end on their Instagram. I'm not sure why. I'll link it in Acast. So if you are listening on Acast, you can get all these links. But I was just so impressed by it. And I was meaning to mention it. And I've realised that there was no point that I could slot it in. But I wanted to, because I thought, I was looking in our fridge early and there are a few things that are on the turn. And I was just thinking, we're going away tomorrow. I don't know how we're going to eat it, like, in time, or how we can fashion a meal out of this.
Oh, get on it. Let me know. Report back.
I will do. I was really interested, and I think it's such a good way of cutting out food waste too.
Yeah, that is something I'm getting better at, but really kind of, I feel like a terrible person. And I'd much rather, it's when you're going away and you might have done a week's shop, but actually not thought about it. You only need to be like doing 4 days.
I mean, all we can do is try and be better.
Definitely. Well, on that note, I'm going to try and be cooler rather than better.
I'm going to go and try and sit in the garden and be a better
sunbather.
Sunbather, yeah, exactly that.
Do put sunscreen on.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to lay it on like factor 50.
Here's the thing. I feel like we're just going on 20 tangents this week. Did you know that when you pick out sun cream, it's all, the quality of it is to do with star rating? So I used to use a brand of sun cream and I use it for June, and it's only got 3 stars out of 5. Whereas I'm going to mention Boots, Sultan is always 5 stars. And that's the quality of how good it is and how much it protects you from the sun. So it's about the factor, but always look at the 5-star UV rating.
And brilliant.
Yeah.
I've always noticed that on their big yellow Sultan things. And I thought,
Yeah, well, we've made the switch now. That's it. I've got no more random nuggets. I will see you in real life next week.
I'll see you. I can't wait. Here's to more sunshine. Have a gorgeous week, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to Quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.